episode 1209, My Strength is My Story with Shanti Feldhahn. Find rest.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people drive. Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us a woman who is absolutely in love with words. Oh, yes, she has put pen to paper and has over 25 books out there. Her name is Shanti Feldhahn. However, we've got a first. Oh, yeah, she's got a devotional. You want to stay tuned. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Shanti's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you want to head right on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and to sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, I got to tell you, if you were a fly on the wall, you would have had a blast with Shanti and I. It was so invigorating. We talked about prom, college, high school graduation, espionage, shifting your perspective, busyness. What else can we claim? Oh yes, dark versus light, and we cannot forget the behind the scenes. I'm telling you, you are going to be laughing and you are going to just feel this joy that exudes from this woman. She has a heart of gold and she is here to connect with you and hopefully to connect you further with God. If you're feeling a little tired, a little run down, and it's not because you haven't gotten enough Z's, oh no, it's time to plug in. It's time to find rest. Without further ado, let's welcome in Shanti Feldhahn. Find rest. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have an extraordinary woman with us today. Her name is Shanti Feldhahn. She's a wife of 23 and a half years to Jeff and a mother to their beautiful two children. She received her graduate degree from Harvard University and was an analyst on Wall Street and also worked on Capitol Hill. Little did she know that her analytical skills would lead her to help people and relationships thrive. Shanti is a popular speaker, best-selling author, and groundbreaking social researcher. She's been featured in Focus on the Family, The Today Show, Family Life Today, The New York Times, and Cosmo. Some of her books you might be familiar with are For Women Only, For Men Only, who she co-authored with her husband, Jeff, and The Kindness Challenge. However, what's groundbreaking today for Shanti is her first devotional. Yes, let's give it up for Find Rest, a women's devotional for lasting peace in a busy life. We all need to find rest in our busyness. Shanti, my friend, my sister in Christ, welcome.
It is great to be with you.
Oh, it's my honor. And I'm telling you, trying to grasp everything that you put into this 60-day, beautiful, gorgeous, shiny on the side. I've already marked it up a little bit, but I got to be honest with you. I haven't written in the pages yet because I want to actually walk through it on my own. I had to do the research so I could chat with you, but I wanted to savor the pages. And look how gorgeous they are. I mean, they're absolutely beautiful, spectacular. So, before we jump into your devotional, what brings joy to your heart?
You know, what really brings joy to my heart right now is savoring the time with my kids, especially my daughter, because she has 17 days left of school in her senior year of high school, and she's going to be graduating and going to college. And I'm like, she was a kindergartner just 5 minutes ago. So that is what brings me joy. We were prom dress shopping last night, and I loved it. Yes.
Did you find one?
We did. That was very important.
Of course.
And absolutely.
You know, don't tell us the whole look, but what was the color?
It's black on top and floral on the bottom. It's very pretty. Oh. Yes, very good. Like every mom here like would approve of the dress. Well, and the dads too.
And the dads too. Well, it's important for the dads to approve, especially Dad Jeff, because, you know, being his daughter and the oldest, he's probably pretty protective, I would think.
Yes. And I'm sure every dad here knows the feeling of where the daughter gets the dress and then has to come downstairs and show it to dad with the shoes and everything else.
Yes.
So yes, that all happened last night. which was awesome.
Oh, how special. Well, what's life like for Shanti these days?
Huh, so I need my own devotional. Let's just put it that way. The title of the devotional that you just showed everybody is Find Rest, and definitely needed. Life is a little bit crazy because not only am I a wife and a mom and a social researcher and a speaker, and I go travel and do all these marriage events and women's events and, you know, speak at churches and corporations and all that. But my, I'm definitely in the sandwich generation. My father had a stroke recently, and they are going to be moving in with us, like the whole package, like all the stuff that so many other people are dealing with. So, it has been crazy, but it has been wonderful. And I'm really glad I did this research and wrote this Devo before all that happened.
Well, God had it all planned out. Yes. Little did you know, of course. Yeah. I have to ask, how is your dad doing?
Oh, thank you for asking. It's one of those challenging situations where he has to relearn a lot, but he is in a great place for acute rehab. And, you know, like a lot of other people, you just do one day at a time and pray that things get better and trust that God has a plan for this season.
Amen. So. He does have a plan. And I know our prayer warriors will be praying with you in this Shanti. Oh,
I would appreciate that. Much needed.
Well, you got it. Our prayers are there. Well, you've authored, I think, at least around 25, you've lost count, books. Plus you have Bible like studies that on top of that. Yet this is your first devotional. What drew you to writing a devotional?
So what drew me to writing a devotional is actually that the honest answer is that this opportunity came my way to do something that would speak to the heart of especially women, but also men, but especially women who are so stressed today. Like, maybe not you, but, you know, the rest of us.
I'm stressed.
You know? And I had been doing actually quite a bit of research because I'm a social researcher, right? Like, as you said in the introduction. And I've been doing a lot of research on what are the causes of stress for women. And really kind of seeing what both science says and for me as a person of faith, what scripture says about, okay, how do you address those things? And realizing that you can't address them all at once. Like, it's not one big book that's like, okay, here's all the stuff you need to do, because then it seems hard and it seems overwhelming, and a overwhelming hard book called Find Rest, that just wouldn't work. So it was really more for us, it's about habit change and it's about a frame of mind. And it's about realizing some of the little things that if we just do this a little differently, it makes a big difference in our lives. And those are little bite-sized realizations every day rather than one big book that you sit down and read all at once. It's more, you know, you need to soak in something for just a little something and go, how does this apply to me? And it sort of just gets absorbed, and it's not something you have to really work on. And then the next day there's something different, and it builds up to a journey to a completely different way of life without it being hard. And that, to me, that's crucial. And that is really a daily devotional, a daily inspirational journey.
Oh, and it's a beautiful journey that you take us on. It's a 60-day journey. And honestly, the cool thing is, a couple things. You wrote this as day one, obviously, through day 60. But at the end of each of them, you also have a reflect. And it's not just, oh, well, I want you to think about this. It's really some open-ended questions that allow you to kind of dig a little bit deeper, chew on your words so you can absorb your thoughts, like you said, and then a place to take notes.
Yeah, it's the whole point is basically the bottom line is that we found in both science and scripture that there are, when you distill it down, there's eight elements that really are crucial. If you're going to find rest, these are the things that are going to get you there. And so each day tackles one of those elements, and there's a little bit of a eye-opening teaching. You know, there's something that we need to be thinking about. And then that reflection that you're talking about is essentially, how does that apply to you? What does this look like for you? And just sort of keep it in mind today. And you'll find that most of that stuff is really something that you instantly know. It's not something you have to like search your heart and like think about for a week. Like you instantly know, oh, that's what this means for me. And it's not usually stuff you have to work on. So that's why we did it that way, is to give you just a sense of here's a principle that's crucial. Here's how it applies to me. And here's what's going to happen, you know, today as I sort of let this sit in my heart for the day. And then the next day it'll be something different.
I love that. So as we let this sit, so we understand, okay, this is a devotional. We can apply it differently because I know I have a good amount of handful of devotions that I've got to be honest, I haven't even touched. I may open them up, you know, and to some degree, I feel guilty about that because some of those devotionals, people took time, as you know, it doesn't just happen overnight. There's a long process to getting it all put together. In this, though, there is truly a difference between rest and sleep. And I think as women, we get it confused. Could you define rest for us?
So to me, the definition that is so powerful comes from, and this is one of the scriptures that was basically the touchstone scripture for this. It's in Matthew, where for those of some, not everybody listening to this may be familiar with the Bible, but for those who are, there's this amazing sermon, this amazing time when Jesus is talking to all of his disciples and all the people, and they're, you know, probably like us, busy people. And he says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. Like, okay, I'll raise my hand for that one. You know, those of you who are weary, take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Okay? And the thing that just blew me away as I realized that is we think so often of sleep, you know, rest for our bodies as being what we're going for. And there's a lot of books that say, you know, you just have to slow down. You know, there's a lot of people who will come up to you and tell you, you know, that you just need to take some time off. Listen, and that may be true. Don't get me wrong. That may be true. But that's more appropriate for a short time than it is for a lifetime. I'm not sure that I can slow down in quite that way for a lifetime. I'm busy. I have two teenagers. I have volleyball games that I need to go to for my daughter. And you know, academic sessions for my son and therapy and this and that, like those things that just happens today. And so we're busy. But the thing that was such a promise there is that to me, that just blew my mind is that Jesus, when he said, take my yoke upon you and you'll find rest for your souls. Think about that for a second. A yoke is actually a tool for a burden beast to be able to do its work and plow the field in the heat of the day as it's doing its work. Jesus didn't say, here, let me take the yoke off of you and send you back to the barn to find rest. It's while you're in the middle of the work of the day and you're sweating and it's hot and you're plowing the field or you're a teacher or you're a salesperson or you're a stay-at-home mom with kids running around and you're going to pull your hair out, but you can find rest for your soul. And to me, that was a really, really important promise because if that's true, and I believe that that's true, that he's telling the truth, then there is a way to get rest for my soul, even in the middle of a really busy day. And so that to me was the definition of rest. It's rest for our souls. Sometimes it's going to be great rest for our bodies, but not all the time. But it can be not stress. It can be not that sense of anxiety and worry. It can be that we live without the sense of being completely frazzled all the time. And that's the promise for me.
I love that promise and I hold on to it too because I have 5 children and it's enough to drive me crazy all the time and they're going in all different directions. But somehow when you find rest for your soul, you can also find joy in your day.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I love that. Well, when you were writing this devotional, what area jumped out to you where God was convicting you and saying, hey, this is really for you?
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, it was pretty much like every one of them. Like, as I'm doing it, it's like, you just did that last night. You know, like, this really was so convicting for me. One of the ones that I think is the most overlooked that I have to work on, that so many people have to work on, I should say, I think I said, you know, there are these eight elements of finding rest. And one of them that kind of helps start a lot of the others is to shift your perspective. It's interesting how much of the stress in our lives, it doesn't have to be there. And it's because we're actually focusing on things in this way instead of that way. I'll give you an example. So one of the things for many of us that causes stress in our lives is relationship issues.
Yes.
Right? Like, whether it's, you know, you're a husband and you're at odds with your wife and you can't figure out what's going on, or you're a woman who's maybe your husband or your boyfriend, things are tense, or your sister-in-law or whatever. You know, so many of us, when our relationships are out of whack, it's like nothing is right with the world until that's resolved, right? And so I, for example, I talk to a lot of women who, you know, they're so upset that their husband doesn't help with the chores. Like, that's just like, oh, like, the dishes are in the sink, you walked right by it, like, you expect me to do everything, like, that kind of feeling, right? And it's interesting, because once we actually try to shift our perspective, I go back to, there's actually this great scripture. It's in the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the ancient city in the ancient city of Philippi. Okay, you can find this in Philippians 4:8. And he says, you know, here's how you shift your perspective, basically. Here's how you rejoice in difficult circumstances. You know, here's how things can be better for you. He said, think on those things that are excellent. Think on those things that are lovely. Think on those things that are right. Think on those things that are worthy of praise rather than what's worthy of driving you crazy, right? And so it's so easy to focus on the dishes in the sink, right? It's so easy to get frustrated. And yet, okay, so I'm going to think on the things that are worthy of praise instead. So I noticed that, you know, my husband came home from work early in order to take the kids to soccer. And, you know, I was so upset after this incident at work, and he sat and he listened to me. And he talked me down off my ledge about just, I'm going to quit, you know, and he listened and he helped me figure out what to do when I walk in tomorrow into the office. And the kids were squabbling and he was so patient with them. And, you know, he didn't yell. He didn't get angry. He was very measured. And he had this really wise advice. And he's this wise, great father, helpful partner. And I'm sitting here worried about the darn dishes in the sink. Right? And that is why so much of that stress happens, is that it's really about what we're focusing on. And once our mind really focuses, once we shift that perspective, it opens up all these other things. It's like this gateway into all these other areas of finding rest.
Amen. We need to start shifting our perspective, because there's so many things out there that helps to shift our perspective. But we need to be very diligent about how we're going to shift it.
Oh, well, and let me tell you, realistically, I mean, our perspective, if we're not careful, it is going to default to being the stuff that drives us crazy. It is going to be the default to the things, oh, I wish I had that. You know, it is going to default to the looking at the social media of our friends and feeling like, gosh, I wish I could afford to go to the beach for Labor Day. You know, look at her husband. Look at them cavorting on the beach. You know, I wish I could do that. You know, and not realizing, okay, yeah, but look at this amazing thing that you have that you probably your friends wish that they had. And it really is so easy for so much of that to take over and make us discontent. And those kinds of things all start going away once our eyes are opened.
Amen. And you all are going to want to pick up your own copy so you can find rest, a women's devotional for lasting peace in a busy life. Well, you wrote this book, you spoke of these eight elements, and they are building only on rock, live according to your design, set aside superwoman, connect with God, shift your perspective, which you just talked about, create life-giving relationships, walk in obedience, and have no fear. What led you to these eight elements?
So because I'm a social researcher, I've basically been, like I said, you know, studying what is it that causes stress for us as people? And, you know, especially the devotionals for women, but it works for men too. What are the things that mostly sort of bind us up and that cause that stress? One of them, like I talked about, was that our perspective often defaults to something that's going to cause us stress because it's, you know, that frustrating stuff. But that wasn't the only thing. And it was interesting to look at what science and scripture say. And we basically spent quite a few years distilling that down and realizing that it really does come down to these eight elements. And they're all very different from one another. Because it really does, it does come to the fact that if that promise of God is true, that you can find rest for your souls, if that's true, then there must be a way of getting there. And I think that this is a roadmap based on science and scripture to getting there.
Oh, I love that. We all need a GPS system and not the one that says recalculating. We want God's recalculation, not Siri or Google or whoever else. And, you know, we've seen those wrong turns down stairs and steep hills. God will not lead you astray.
Well, and here's, okay, so this leads to one of the other elements of finding rest that is so, so crucial. So one of them we named build only on rock. Okay. And it's from the parable that Jesus told of, you know, when the storms of life hit, the house that's built on sand, it's really going to get swept away. It's going to have problems. The house that's built on rock is going to be unmoving, you know, and he was talking about his word and he was talking about his principles and his life, you know, to build on him and to build on those things that are true. And it is really easy for us, and this is especially, maybe the men listening to this don't have the same quandary, I don't know, but for us as women, we can tend to be so frazzled sometimes and running around, especially for moms who are running around after kids, that we make decisions and do things based on what is expedient at that moment. Like, we will make a decision based on how we are feeling in that moment, because it's just quicker, it's easier. And it is really easy. And I'll give you an example that all of us can kind of, I think, probably identify with. It is really easy when you're following your feelings. It is easy when your kids irritate you and it's like the 10th time of the day because you haven't gotten enough sleep or you've been worried about something at work. And it just got on your last nerve, whatever your kid said, and you explode, right? And you say, go to your room, or you snap at them, or whatever it is, right? You've just followed your feelings into a situation that is actually, in the end, going to make you more stressed.
Yes.
Okay? Because you know you didn't handle it right. You've created a bigger problem, or whatever. And it makes all the difference in the world, and it doesn't always work this way, but it makes all the difference in the world if you will say, look, I know myself. Like for me, I know that this is one of my tendencies. And so because I know that I have a tendency to snap at my kids, and it's going to make it worse in the end and cause me more stress, that I have to have a rule for myself. That when my kids annoy me, and I'm going to tell them this ahead of time, like, if you say something and I don't respond and I just stop and go like this and walk away for a minute, it's because I'm putting myself in timeout, basically, for just a second and giving myself 60 seconds before I respond. Because if I say anything right now, it's going to be hurtful to everybody. And forcing myself to come up with some sort of situation so that I don't respond based on how my feelings are telling me to respond in that moment. Because my feelings are like the sand. They're gonna fail me sometimes. My feelings are not always going to point me in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But building on the rock and building on the truth that kind words are always going to lead to repentance, kind words are always going to be a better choice than angry ones. Whatever that truth is, if I make sure that that's the way that I'm going to respond, then it'll cause me less stress down the road. So that's just a simple, silly little example, but we have to plan for it, mm-hmm. right? We have to actually decide that this is what we're going to do. That, and that's an example of like an interpersonal relationship. There could be all sorts of ways that we just make decisions based on something that's not rock.
Mm-hmm. And it becomes even more, I think, apparent because with social media, you can go and in the olden days when we started and computers were just out, I remember like my huge, you know, screen was like, it was this thick. It wasn't because it was that wide. It was like, you know, and it weighed like 75, 80 pounds. And it took you like 3 hours to find what you might be looking for. Now everybody has it on the short little cute little cell phone. And we are so quick. And the crazy thing is in Instagram, it follows us, Facebook. And we're just throwing all these messages like, hello, pay attention to me, to me, to me, to me, to me, to me, to me. And God's going, what about me? I am your rock. I am your source. Wouldn't it be great if he would show up in our Instagram feeds and our Facebook feeds?
Seriously. Well, hey, one of the other things that we have to confront, let's just be honest about this. This is the other, one of the other elements of finding rest, is that we're weary, we're burdened, we're stressed, because we are absolutely not plugging into God. And it's almost like one of the analogies that we use in the devotional is actually, you know, that panicky feeling that you sometimes get when your cell phone, speaking of cell phones, when the battery is going down and down and down, and you're like, I have 18% left, I have 12% left, I have 7%, and you're like, it's going to go off in the middle of, you know, an important conversation, or, you know, my daughter's going to need to get a hold of me. And she's not, and there's this tension and this stress because our battery is run down. That the battery running down causes stress. Mm-hmm. And it feels so much better. Think about that feeling that you get when you spot the power cord and there's a place I can plug in for 30 minutes. It's like, yes. And the battery goes back up and you breathe better. Mm-hmm. Well, we have to recognize that that's a perfect analogy for our relationship with God. Amen. And our everyday life is one of the reasons that we are so stressed is that we have not plugged into God, because there is only one source of real energy and it's not found in a power cord.
Amen.
So we have to plug into God every day and multiple times a day. And it's not like just, okay, I will sit and do my quiet time. That's fine. That's good. Okay, but what about when you do want to yell at your kids? That's when you step back for those 60 seconds and go, Lord, help me change my heart right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, make it true, right? Yes. Change how I'm feeling about this. When we're anxious about something and waiting for the results of that medical test, Lord, help me handle this, and I'm trusting in you. Like, that constant plugging into God is what is going to really help us live life without that sense of, oh, my battery is running down and I'm stressed.
Exactly. All the more reason why you're going to want to plug in to her brand new devotional, Find Rest, a women's devotional for lasting peace in a busy life. Well, let's dive a little bit deeper in a couple of these elements here. Our response to the question, how are you, is I'm so busy. In fact, you should be just grateful that I'm even speaking to you, you know, because I'm so busy. But you write in your book, we have bought into the lie that we can have it all, do it all, and be it all at the same time. I know I have my Wonder Woman outfit on today. I am dressed. Yet you say we are not designed for that.
Yeah. This is one for women especially, and this is especially a female thing. We really have bought in to this myth, this cultural idea that we can have it all and do it all and be it all at the same time. And not just that we can, but we should.
Mm, yes.
Okay. And that if we can't, that we're like letting down the sisterhood or something. You know, like, this is a modern woman, baby. Like, I should be able to do all of this. And you know what? Doggone it, you're not going to tell me that I can't. Like, I can imagine there's probably some women listening to this who, like me, have the head wag on, right? Like, this is, right. This. No, you can't tell me this. And listen, of course I can't tell you this. However, I love Dr. Phil. Like, how's that working for you, right?
Right.
Because if it's true that we're not designed for that, because that's the premise here, is that we're designed to maybe be able to have it all and do it all and be it all over the course of our lifetime.
Yes.
But not at the same time. If that's true, if that is not how God has designed us, if God has designed us with seasons, for example, that you can do certain things in one season, you can't do in another, there's certain seasons of life. If that's accurate and we try to have it all at the same time, something's going to suffer for it. And we're not going to do anything well. And to me, that is one of the biggest causes for heartache for women, especially. It because we think, I should be able to have this high-powered job, and I should be able to be the mom of the year, and I should be able to have an amazing marriage and be an amazing wife, and I should be able to take care of elderly parents, and I should be able to do all the volunteering at work, and I should be able to be room mom. And why am I melting down in tears every night? And why is my boss mad at me? And why are my kids mad at me? And it's like, it's because we're not, if we're trying to do everything and we can't, then we're not going to do anything well. And so if that's true, we have to prioritize. We have to make choices. And we haven't necessarily been taught how to do that well.
No, we haven't.
Yeah. I don't think any of us have. I personally have found that if you can learn how to make the right choices by focusing on, have you ever seen that exercise with the big rocks, mm-hmm. the big rocks and the little rocks?
Yes.
Where you like, you put it, you have big rocks that are things that matter the most to you. And then you have little rocks that represent the stuff that's important, but maybe not as important. Then a lot of little rocks and like dust and sand and stuff. That's all the other stuff. If you have a jar, you put all that little stuff, the day-to-day stuff that fills up your life, you put that in, you're not going to get the big rocks in. But if you have the jar and you put the big rocks in first, and then the slightly smaller ones, and then pour the sand and the dust, all of it fits. And life will seem to fit. But we have to prioritize those big rocks first. And that does mean at that season of life, like where I am right now with my teenagers, this is it, right? My daughter is going off to college.
Right? You'll make it, I promise.
Thank you. I know there's other women going, I'm rooting for you. I've been there. You can do it. And right now I'm like, really? But that is, for me, I know very well that, like, for example, I just got invited to speak in New Zealand.
Fabulous. Sounds like a vacation.
It does, except it's in the middle of the school year.
Oh.
Right? And right? I know that I would be gone for at least a week and a half. I would miss this. I can't take the kids because it's in the middle of the school year. I would miss a week and a half of this precious period. Can I do that? You know what? No, that's a choice. Darn it. And I am such a Lord of the Rings nerd, and I love to go see New Zealand, you know, where Lord of the Rings was filmed. And I told them, I'm going to have to take you up on that in about 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I just... this, it's choices, and it's hard because we want to do it all. You don't want to miss anything, but you know what? We have to come as women to the realization. If we make the choices in keeping with God's plans for us, we're not going to miss something. We're going to find something.
Oh, okay. Sit with that. We're not going to miss something, but we're going to find something.
Yeah.
That's something that we just need to really, we need to pray on that one. And really take it to our heart. I mean, if you're listening right now, what are you really missing out on? This whole FOMO thing, fear of missing out, throw it away right now, because you might be missing out. In fact, you probably are missing out on what God has designed perfectly, uniquely for you.
Exactly. That's a great way of putting it. Mm.
Oh, okay. So we got the whole idea of set aside your superwoman. Because, you know, so that means I have to go get rid of my Wonder Woman outfits for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Darn, I look really cute in those too. Okay, just kidding. I don't have any. But what I'm ready to do now is to join the FBI. Okay, not really. But you title one of your days of your devotions under espionage agents. And you write, we need to realize who we really are. I don't just mean embracing our identity in Christ or the fact that we are daughters of the King. I mean recognizing something much bigger. We are key players in a great war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And this earth is the primary battlefield.
Yeah, this is essentially the answer to why does all this matter? Are we supposed to find rest because we'll have a happier life? Are we supposed to find rest because things will be easier for us? Or is there another piece to the puzzle here? And I would argue there's another piece to the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Essentially, and this is, you know, getting a little more into the theology of things and more into what the Bible says explicitly about certain things. But the Bible makes it really clear that this earth really is given over to the dominion of darkness. There's plenty of scriptures that says Satan is God of this world, right? And that there's another, so it's like this kingdom, but Jesus talked all the time about this other kingdom, you know, his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And so there really is this battle between light, between dark and light. Okay. And the thing is, essentially, what this says without saying it is that we're living in occupied territory. We're living in the kingdom of darkness. And what that means is, by definition, when we come to know the Lord, when we say, you're going to have my life, Lord, I'm going to give this to you to do with as you will, we have transferred our citizenship. We're no longer a citizen of the kingdom of darkness. We're a citizen of another king, another kingdom with our allegiance to a different king. And by definition, from that moment on, we are essentially citizens undermining the kingdom in which we're living on behalf of another king. We're basically underground espionage agents from that point forward, right? We're the French underground in occupied France in World War II. And suddenly it changes everything about what you see around you and about sort of the purpose of your life and how you view suffering. I mean, for example, we say all the time, like, why would these bad things happen to good people? Like, you know, why would such and such be a casualty? She was an amazing, godly woman. Like, I have a good friend who suddenly died at the age of 51, literally went to work, passed out, and never woke up.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, a blood clot or an aneurysm or something like that, right? Leaving behind, you know, one of our good friends, her husband, and a son who's in the same school as my daughter. And it's like, she was this amazing, godly woman. God, why would this terrible thing happen? Well, okay, let me sort of push on that a little bit. Would the members of the French underground in World War II ever have asked that question? Why is this bad thing happening? No, because they knew who they were. Yeah. They knew they were going to get shot at. They knew they would have casualties. They expected them. It's not like they liked them, but they knew who they were. And they knew the need for vigilance. And they knew the need to, because they were trying to rescue those destined for destruction. So if all of that is true, then it really puts it into perspective of really all our focus is on what can I do here that's going to be a part of this eternal perspective. And finding rest isn't about just me having a happier life. It's about me being a better underground agent. It's about me being better at my work for this other kingdom. And, you know, I don't like being shot at. And I want a happy life just like anybody else. You know, I want that. But it's not about me in the end. There's a much bigger purpose. And seeing that suddenly in a weird way that actually reduces the stress instead of increasing it, because suddenly everything has an eternal perspective. And those things that sometimes just bug us in day-to-day life, it's like, wow, that really, that no longer is troubling to me.
I am still wanting to be an FBI agent. And all the more reason why you guys are going to want to pick up your 8 elements that you'll find here in her brand new book, Find Rest, A Woman's Devotional for Lasting Peace in a Busy Life. There's just so much chock full in here. And, you know, I've got to throw it out there. Mother's Day is around the corner. This would make a great Mother's Day. This would be a great pick-me-up. It would actually be, believe it or not, a great graduation gift for high schoolers and college. I know you don't want to hear that, the word college. I'm sorry, Shanti.
I don't, but it's okay. High school graduation is around the corner. And I will tell you, can I just say that this is hilarious?
Yes.
So my teenage daughter, right, she's turning 18 in just a couple of weeks. And when this book comes out, okay, so I'm going to hold it up to the camera now too. So the book comes out. And she's like Snapchatting and Instagramming and telling all of her friends and like being like the best PR agent in the world.
How sweet.
And I'm like, honey, I've written 2 dozen other books and you've never had, because usually it's like, oh yeah, mom put out another book, whatever. And so I'm like, you've never, like I put out a book just a year ago that I thought was pretty cool, big research study, and it's had this pretty big impact. And she was like, yeah. And so I'm like, what's up? And she's like, Mom, it's pretty. Like it's chattable. I'm like, okay.
It is
so
pretty.
Yeah, the teenagers and the college students apparently really do like it because it is Instagrammable. Yeah.
Oh, it is. And the feel of it and the pages, the weight of it. I mean, it is. It's a beautiful book. And we as women were attracted to beauty. And I believe though, God gave us that attraction to understand and find our beauty in our brokenness.
I think so too. And I love that way of putting that. It's actually one of the reasons, if you want a little behind the scenes on the Devo, it's actually one of the reasons that at the publisher, there were a couple of men, there were 2 or 3 men involved in the process. And then there were about 4 or 5 women involved in the publishing process. And we'd sit around a table and figure out, you know, how many daily devotionals do we want? What does my research show? You know, what are these pieces of the puzzle that would make really a good journey for women? And so we kept saying, you know what, it really has to be beautiful. It has to be like sitting with a garden in a garden of sort of encouragement, inspiration each day. It's got to be beautiful. And so some of the men were the ones who were actually hiring the illustrator. Who is just amazing, and trying to get the right balance. And they're like, well, how about if we just put out just a couple of little flowers on the page? And all the women are like, no. Like, you know, this really, we really want it to be special. And that is something that if you are really trying to find rest, and I love your phrase, to find beauty in brokenness, to be filled up in this way, we thought it was really important. So in the end, I was really glad that they invested in really filling up us as women with that beauty.
Oh, well, it is gorgeous. And, you know, however, though, I don't want it to be a devotional that you pick up and that you set with all the other ones.
It's
you
not just
touched.
A coffee table book. Right. No. Yeah, exactly.
But it would be beautiful on a coffee table. But if that's where you sit and read it and get your inspiration with your wonderful coffee mug, I say go at it because it is beautiful. Well, of all of these 60 days that you wrote, which one right now is challenging you most today?
Probably, candidly, it's this idea of connecting with God properly. This idea of plugging in to God the same way that we like plug in and fill up our phone's battery, right? Because one of the things that I'm wrestling with is that my life has changed a lot over the last few weeks since my dad's stroke, which we were talking about. And I missed 3 weeks of work because I was in a hospital for 3 weeks with my dad and my mom. And I mean, just picture that, like picture the size of your inbox. If you literally went away from everything for 3 weeks,
not good.
So yeah. So the thing that's challenging me is it doesn't matter that I've got a stack of papers waiting for me. I can't let that drive me. And I've been the last few days letting that drive me and not having enough time to plug into God. And that's really the one that's challenging me right now.
We'll be praying with you that you will connect with him, and that through your time right now, with your daughter graduating now within like 17 days, not that anybody's counting or anything.
Not that we're counting.
It's like the Christmas calendar, right? You got the graduation calendar. 1, 2, 3. She's probably counting more than you.
17 days of class, and then a little more until graduation. But yeah, a month and a half. Less than a month and a half is graduation.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to be praying you through this because it's a season, right? As we talked about earlier, Shanti, it's a season, and God puts us in seasons. I've got to ask this question. What would you tell that woman who is searching right now to find rest? Where should she start?
First of all, I would tell her it is possible. I can tell you it is possible because I used to be the worst person at finding rest. And really, this has taken me on a journey myself and realizing you can find rest for your souls. And so you start with step one. Like, don't try to figure out how you're going to get there. Don't try to see how it's all going to happen. That's really the reason that it needed to be a daily devotional, right? Is just take the next step. Just start, right? And then you realize it's just a simple thing. And then take the next step the next day and sit and then do the next one and let it be a small little bite-sized step every day. And you're then pretty soon you're going to see, you're going to have the hope. Wow. Things really are different in my heart. And that'll give you the hope and the encouragement to continue.
I love it. Well, I know people are going to want to find you. They're going to take that next step and connect with you. Where can they go?
So findrestbook.com is the portal for this. And I would really encourage you to start there. But if you want to go to my website, my big website directly, it's shanti.com.
Okay. Well, we will be sure to have all that information in the show notes for everybody to connect with you. This series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
What has my story gifted me? You know, I think this is going to sound funny. Nothing that has happened to me is anything that I planned. It's all just been God just handing me all this stuff and all these things happening and trying to be a good steward of them. And really, truly, my story, as I look on it, it's just given me this amazing sense of awe and gratitude for what God has done. It's just, I mean, we've had low notes as well as the high notes, but all of it is just gratitude.
Well, I'm very grateful that you took time in your craziness, in your chaos, even with the daughter graduating, to write this book, Find Rest. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to go pick it up. They're going to hold on to it. And I would really encourage, some of these are going to speak louder to your heart than others. Just because it's marked day one doesn't mean you can't spend day one and then the next day on day one and the next day on day one continue to add to it. And if nothing else, definitely rinse and repeat when you're done. Here's an idea, Shanti. Yes, exactly. And you may need an extension journal. Just saying.
Yes, exactly.
In your spare 60
time. 60 days isn't enough. Yes, exactly.
It has been such an honor, Shanti, to have you on. Thank you so much. We will be praying for you in this transition and the move of your parents and also for the healing of your father.
Thank you so much.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.